Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Studio tonight, it's the Pugok, the Bugok, and the Quack.
There you go.
All right, very well.
It's going to be an interesting show. Please call now and save us.
The domestic terrorism hotline is 603-283-6160. If you want to call and join in tonight's edition of Free Talk Live, Captain's Log, Stardate 04212024. In the studio tonight, it's myself. The authentic Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kickass Buckshot Esquire, if you will, LLC. Joining me.
501c3 Corporation.
Steve Classic.
And Richie Rich.
I'm trying to get you to add the 501c3.
Well, I mean, it's maybe, not like I'm not actually a 501c3, so.
Well, it gives you something to work
towards. I might be a 501c3PO. That's C-3PO wearing some Levi's.
Ooh.
501c3.
Oh, wow.
501c3PO. That's wow. Right. That's right. Star Wars joke here on Free Talk Live.
Go figure. Nerds.
Did I take care of all the business? I hope I did. I feel like
yeah,
I did.
You got the star date.
Captain, studio. We got the domestic.
Still palindrome week.
It is palindrome
week. Depending on how you count things.
Well, the whole how week. You put the numbers in order in front of your face is really, ironically.
Just listening to two other hosts, I try to figure that out on the air.
It's the whole week. Wow.
Well, it was 420, too, so it was even more
okay.
Like,
fair enough.
Right? We had to put some extra.
Excuses.
It's not an excuse. It's a fact. As you are wont to do.
Yes.
Point out the facts of the situation.
Mr. Only Right.
And
always right.
Yeah.
There's, don't quote me on this, but there's a quote or a saying.
Don't quote me, but here's a quote.
Well, because I'm going to paraphrase it because I don't know the actual quote. And I think it's from Mark Furman, the OJ lawyer.
Okay, but what do you call it if you quote a paraphrase?
I mean, you're quoting a paraphrase. Quote a phrase?
You're just paraphrasing.
I just gave you two.
All right, very well.
Pick one.
No.
Okay.
Mark Furman said,
tell me what to do, man.
This was like in his book after the OJ trial, apparently. Right. But he said, if the law is in your favor, pound on the law. If the law is not in your favor, pound on the facts.
Whoa.
And if the law and the facts are not in your favor, pound on the podium.
Huh. Wow.
As a legal technique, or you want to be lawyers out there.
Jeez. Huh.
Pound on the podium.
I've heard one of those three. Yeah. Which is, pound on the facts.
Like, right.
Yeah. I mean, that's... generally speaking, I think that's what most people in the United States believe will, get them out of a bad situation when the government attacks.
Yes.
Right? They're being accused of something. They've got a court date to go or a hearing or something, right? And they're like, well, I'll just tell the truth and reveal the facts. That's not how it works.
No, because the facts might not be in your favor legally.
Right.
Right.
Right? So if the law is in your favor, which, they'll still find a weasel way out of it.
Yeah.
Right? But, the common trope for going to court and going to trial is, well, the state has required to prove all elements of the crime. No, so if there's four elements of the crime, well, no, they do. That's the facts.
Okay. Right?
They have to do, but they don't, and they win anyway.
Yeah, their rules say they're required to do so.
Right.
But in actual practice,
Right. But if you can prove that that they don't have all the elements, then that's what you focus on in trial.
Right.
Yeah. They're missing part of their case required to prosecute me.
Yep.
Right. And that's what you focus on. Now, if they have all of that, well, then,
and the jury has to convict without any doubt.
If you can get a jury.
If you can bring the doubt into it, then...
Yeah, but we know not only from experience, but from, you know, anecdotal evidence, as well as a bazillion, you know, libertarian and freedom activist types who've gone to various versions of court, that juries really aren't, you know, you don't... It's not a favorable matchup.
They're not really your peers.
Yeah, it's not really a favorable matchup.
And that's the other thing, right? This isn't legal advice. But if the law is in your favor, you don't want a jury, right? You want a bench trial,
right?
Because the judge is required to follow
the law, right?
If the law is not in your favor, then you want a jury who then might have the option to nullify based on the facts.
The facts, right.
And then if you don't
so you have to sway the jury.
Based on the facts, right?
You got to sell.
You got to sell them that the law should not apply, even though it does, right? They have to nullify the law.
Right.
This is a bad law.
I still maintain that the thing that got Ian Freeman convicted by the jury was prosecutor's arts and crafts day.
Okay.
They paid some of their team of umpteen lawyers and, you know, interns and all that kind of stuff to put together this large poster board with, like, the pictures of the old ladies and, you know, drawing lines and, you know, charts from Ian's face to theirs and, you know, putting, like, you know, numbers that they mentioned in the trial. It was, like, literally, it looked like something like a 12-year-old kid would do for Arts and Crafts Day. And then in closing arguments, they just held this thing up. You know, and repeatedly pointed to it, and the jury's like, oh, well, look at that, pictures on a board. Yeah.
Must be true.
Screw the facts.
And I don't want to sound like I'm poking holes in the defense or taking shots at it, you know, after the fact, right? But if the law was in his favor, right, if you're like, well, they're trying to accuse me of whatever, and they can't prove certain elements of that crime, then you wouldn't want the jury. You'd want the judge.
Yeah.
Right? Just the judge on the bench.
It has to follow
that. Because it has to follow. And if it doesn't, then you can appeal, and you're likely going to win on appeal.
Yeah. When bureaucrats attack, ladies and gentlemen of the listening audience.
Sounds like a movie.
There is no winner. You never win.
Mitigation of damages.
Right. It's just, oh my gosh, immediate damage control. What is the, how can I hope for the best outcome? You're not going to win, quote unquote.
You've already lost.
You've already lost. They're attacking you. You're going to lose money. You're going to lose time. You might lose portions of your life, you know, depending on how things turn out for you. So the best that you can do is attempt to defend and deflect to get the best possible outcome for you. That is the least amount of harm done by the state to you at the least cost. To you.
Now, I will point out as well, since you mentioned the prosecution, right? They didn't have the law in their favor. They didn't have the facts in their favor, right? So they pounded on the podium for the emotional appeal.
Ah, they came up with the little arts and crafts thing.
The arts and crafts thing is an emotional appeal to get the jury to feel bad for the quote-unquote victims and not feel in favor of Ian Freeman.
Right.
So it's the same strategy from the other perspective.
Right.
Thank you, Mark Furman. Well, that's...
I mean, he's right. Well, yeah, but he put it into words, but it's probably a well-known practice in that field.
Right. Is that like Lawyer 101?
I don't know. Maybe. You got to talk to an attorney.
Yeah, this is not legal advice.
This is not legal advice.
We are not attorneys. Yeah.
I'm pounding the podium.
We are just...
Look how ugly he is compared to this good-looking guy over here.
That's basically the... Like, this guy deserves... Look at him. He deserves to be in jail.
He's not wearing a suit.
Doesn't he just look like a crook, right?
Look at the orange jumpsuit he's wearing. Yeah. Would a good guy be wearing an orange jumpsuit and sackles? Exactly. He's clearly guilty.
Right.
That's part of it.
Yeah.
That's legitimately part of it.
It's theater.
Yes.
Speaking of Ian Freeman, I am going to push this to our social media, but he has been moved to FMC Devons. There is a new address to write him at. I'm not going to say it because there's a bunch of numbers and stuff in here, but I will post this to all the Free Talk Live social media, so Twitter, Facebook, Mastodon.
Geographically, where is FMC Devons?
Same place Aria is, Massachusetts.
Okay.
So this says Ayer, Massachusetts. I'm not sure if that's the exact town.
Devons, Massachusetts?
Ayre.
A-Y-E-R.
Oh, that's close.
According to this. Okay. I didn't write this, so... same facility Aria ended up at, so it's drivable from here.
Okay.
I'm told that Mrs. Freeman was able to visit Mr. Freeman for the first time since the move. So there's that. So we do have a new address for you to write him. This will be where he will be supposedly for the duration. Every now and again, prisons do weird things. So, but let's just hope that this is where he will be for the duration, until the appeals process starts kicking in. And all
that was my next question. When's the appeal start?
Yeah, I don't have access to his attorneys. I would redirect you to Mrs. Freeman.
Okay.
For that kind of information. You know, if she doesn't talk about it on the air, you know, feel free to, you know, say, hey, yo, Bonnie. You know.
That also presumes I listen to the other shows.
Well,
tune in.
I did presume. It's true.
Yes. There's just so much content, man.
Yeah. No, it's true.
It was hard enough when it was 7 nights a week and I was, like, listening to all the shows as a listener to keep up.
Yeah. During the post-raid time when I was on for, I don't even know how many days in a row. Like 18, I don't remember the number, but I was listening to Riley's Digest on the daily just to, like, you know, remind myself of what we did already talk about so I didn't cover something twice, you know, that kind of thing. And then I was doing that before already to hear what the other hosts, you know, were talking about so that, you know, not only did I not double cover, but I also could speak if somebody called in the next day because sometimes some of our affiliates will broadcast on delay and that kind of thing. They won't broadcast us live. And so sometimes, or somebody will be like, yeah, I wanted to call in last night, but, you know, we'll get those kind of calls. So, but
that's why I try to listen to, like, last night's show or the first part of last night's show on my drive over here.
Yeah.
So I'm at least moderately informed of what might have been talked about.
Yeah. And if nothing more, you can ridicule, well, me at least.
Okay.
You know, when you get here on Sundays. So, yeah, the good news is we have heard from Ian. He has been moved successfully from his previous location to this new location at FMC Devons. And I will post this article that was put together by Mr. Penguin on freekeen.com to all of our social media so you guys can get the address and how to write to him. So there you go. That's the news of the day.
Are they going to keep him separated from Aria?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. He's in a different level of security than Aria is.
Supermax.
Yeah, like, you know, I don't know. That's where they put the, let me see.
Criminal masterminds.
No. I'm trying to remember the phrase that they use. Sophisticated cyber criminal.
Wow.
Yeah, it was the term that they hurled at Mr. Freeman during his trial.
I hope he puts that on his business card when he gets out.
That's a real resume booster right there.
Seriously.
I might add it to mine, even though I have no such thing. Right? Like, just, it sounds cool, right?
You are such a sophisticated cyber criminal, you've just never been caught.
Maybe that's a good name for a band.
Sophisticated
cyber criminals. Okay. Make it plural, so it, you know, names the whole band.
Run it through one of those AI generators.
Yeah,
that'll be fun.
Yeah. All right. So, before we go into any of our stories, let's just pick up this call, because this is, I don't remember the title that we're supposed to call you, Jeremy. What is it? You're the something-something TikTok
correspondent. For as long as TikTok still lasts, well, no, hopefully it'll still be around the rest of the world.
What kind of phone line are you on? You sound terrible.
What? Oh, he sounds great.
No, I know.
He's on the SIP line.
I know.
Yeah.
Man, roll with it.
I started to say last night, but I didn't.
Sidetracked.
I started calling on the SIP line because, yeah, it did sound terrible when I was on a regular phone line.
You crackled a little bit in the beginning, but I knew you were on the SIP line.
You sound like a correspondent.
Oh, that's probably wind.
Okay.
Yes. How
correspondent quality?
How goes
move the microphone away from your buttons?
How goes the TikTok?
It's going well. I just wanted to say on the topic you were just on, best wishes to Ian for however many years he's stuck in the new spiritual retreat.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know that he's able to keep a good positive mindset. So that's and grow spiritually while he's there.
I will pass your well wishes on to him.
Thank you. Yeah, so now you were just talking about having to listen to listening to the digest on your way in or listening to last night's show. Now you're going to have to start listening to all the TikToks so that you can respond to those. Because this is from a whole week ago.
Not going to happen.
You guys were talking about after.
I'll just delegate that to Richie Rich.
No, a whole week ago you guys were talking about just after Iran bombed or tried to bomb Israel, that, you know, now World War II was or three, whatever we're in,
up to,
was about to start. And
Cold War.
JoeHero962 says, Eisenhower warned of the military-industrial complex in his farewell address, and then the next president was reining them in until Dallas. So I thought, let's find out where you guys are on the conspiracy theory. Did the CIA kill Kennedy?
I mean,
probably.
Yeah, like, Oliver Stone convinced me, you know what I mean? Like, that movie he put out, I was like, yeah, it's got
to
be
a back into the left. You know? Back into the left.
That's what I was going to say. I'm with Mark that I don't pay a lot of attention to conspiracy theories because the government does enough crap right in front of our faces. What's the point of digging into all of it? I had a high school political science teacher who believed in the Kennedy assassination, so in the CIA conspiracy theory around it. So that left impressionable young me believing that one, and then Oliver Stone cemented it. And it's a really good movie.
Here's always my question to the conspiracy theorists. Let's assume you're right. The CIA killed Kennedy.
Okay.
We have the facts. Alex Jones has the documents. Right? What are you going to do different?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, probably not much.
Then who cares?
You know? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Well, okay, fine. Watch the movie, enjoy the movie. But my point is, like, if you're spending your activism going around trying to convince people of conspiracy theories, right? Are they going to functionally change how they operate within the society that you're in, right? Are they going to arm up? Are they going to turn into preppers? Right?
A modern day conspiracy theory would probably motivate people to do things a lot more than JFK or the moon or whatever.
You know? Sure.
Because it's so old.
Right? 9/11 was an inside job. 9/11. What are you going
to
do different?
Yeah, exactly. All right, so 9/11, then you fast forward to the Cerveza sickness. I mean, you know, you could talk about monetary collapse and everything, but I think the closer that the conspiracy theory is, probably the more you're likely to converse with someone. Because, like, people's eyes go, who's JFK?
The only other one besides JFK that I entertain is the moon landing, which I heard was faked, but it was done by Stanley Kubrick.
Stanley Kubrick,
and he insists on filming everything on location. So,
well, that's why they killed OJ, right? Because he was in Capricorn 1, which is a fake Mars landing movie in the 70s or whatever.
I haven't heard that one. That's new. That's new to me.
Kubrick shot everything on location. That's good.
That's pretty good. The thing that I found funny was at this past year's Pork Fest, the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Someone thought it was a good idea to invite a politician to come and speak.
The name of Kennedy?
RFK. Robert Frickin' Kennedy. That's what I
thought. Oh, yeah.
And so, of course...
Robert FCCN Kennedy?
Yes, that's the guy. Yeah. So they put up metal detectors and asked everybody to disarm whoever wanted to go in and see him speak. Yeah. And so a bunch of people showed up at a free right, yeah. Like where everybody's armed just because they can be, right? And it's one of the most peaceful events you've ever seen, but they're like, nope, we're not taking any chances.
It'd be like charging tickets and adding a tax to it.
Right.
And so, I just wanted someone to park a Lincoln on the top of the hill.
They did. No, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, good.
Really. Yeah, somebody, and they also stuck signs in the grass of the hill. It said grassy knoll.
Okay.
They really were playing it up. And I was like, yeah. And they had, like, people, like, who were fully armed, and I mean fully, right, like, standing outside of the designated disarmament zone where he was going to speak. But, like, you know, there was enough, gun rights, people or people who were just upset that they were going to do this at a liberty-oriented festival that has never disarmed anybody up until this time that I'm aware of. Mm-hmm.
Until holier than thou showed up, Mr. Politician.
Yeah, and then, like, he's not even a libertarian.
Nope.
And never claimed to be, and, like, is he even a Republican? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like,
he's an activist.
Is he, or is he just, a politician trying to...
I don't even think he's a politician. He's running for office. Yeah, but he's never... It's like Trump was not a politician before he was elected.
He wasn't
dog catcher and then mayor and then councilman and, working his way up to be president.
Yeah.
This is just a long shot.
Yeah.
I think it's just
on name recognition alone.
But it's also a good way for him to put information that he has out there publicly. you know, but whether he's going to win or not.
Left
he might be the only one left.
If Biden goes into full dementia and Trump's in jail.
Right, they bring Big Mike out. Oh, geez.
Hey, man, if El Chapo can run the cartel from prison, Trump can be president.
From prison?
From prison.
I think it would be great to have a president on house arrest at the White House.
Putin can only meet with Trump during visiting hours at the jail.
He's wearing the ankle monitor around the White House.
He can't leave house arrest. He's only
You're
in the White House.
You're confined to the West Wing, sir.
Oh, my gosh.
That's great.
That's great. Anything else, Jeremy?
No, I just hope that I brought out the conspiracy theorists to make that the whole show tonight.
Hey, we appreciate you and the work that you do. Thanks for the call, brother. 603-283-6160 if you want to call and talk about whatever's on your mind or whatever the hell we're talking about.
I'm down the rabbit hole on conspiracy theories.
I mean,
I'm trying to read more books. I'm not spending any more time on TikTok.
E-books.
Yeah.
I don't have a TikTok, so.
I don't have TikTok.
I'm old. Like,
I have one.
Yeah.
And I don't do anything with it. Whenever the new technology comes, I'm on the cusp of millennial. Like, yeah. Zennial. Yeah. Like, I'm in that range, and I accept that more than millennial.
Oh, you just park an account and just have your account.
Well, you do not act your age, sir.
Right. So, like, at one point in time, when library first was a thing, right, I heard about it, I created an account, and like a year and a half later, my buddy goes like, dude, you got to try this thing called library. Like, LBRY.
And you go to sign up. It's like, you already signed up.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm like, I've already got an account, dude. Like, I'm just waiting for everybody else to get here.
Yeah.
So when TikTok came around, like, created an account.
Signed up.
Left it there. Was not intrigued by it at all.
Right.
Didn't care.
Yeah.
And moved on.
Yeah. And all these, like.
But I'm also not bashing it. Right? Because it's effective at getting a different generation involved.
Yeah.
So keep doing what you're doing. It's just not for me.
It seems weird that, like, a new version of social media needs to be reinvented for every generation. Like, so that it's kind of like every generation that used to have their own music. Like, oh, man, I'm all about the music from the 60s or the 70s or the 80s, man. You know, that kind of thing. Like, you'd have a generation. It seems like every generation now needs its own version of social media.
I'm a MySpace guy.
Yeah, they can't just join an existing one. A new one has to come out of nowhere that nobody ever heard of, and they join it, and all their friends join it, and that kind of thing. It's really weird the way these social media organizations have to brand and rebrand themselves.
Yep.
To, you know, connect with an audience.
I've got my Free Talk Live Mastodon. I'm on the Matrix servers.
Right.
I just don't do anything there because it's worthless to me.
But, I mean, I don't think kids want to be like, oh, my mom's on Facebook. She might see this. Like,
they have Snapchat.
They move away to a different technology. Like, the parents can't keep up with it. So,
unless you're a Zennial parent. They're doing everything.
Or your dad is an IT professional.
And your phone is a back door.
It really is. 603-283-6160. Still to come. A whole bunch of good stuff, including Weekend at Bernie's Part 3.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
News update.
It provides for greater accountability over Ukraine aid.
You're listening to House Speaker Mike Johnson as the House passes a $95 billion foreign aid package for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan.
It forces an endgame strategy for the Ukraine war. It includes a loan instrument of this foreign aid to Ukraine and the Repo Act to ensure that Russian assets pay for part of the bill.
The Senate expected to vote on this funding on Tuesday, and then the bill heads to President Biden's desk. Now, as for the breakdown of all the money, $61 billion slated for Ukraine, $26 billion heading to Israel, and $8 billion going to Taiwan. Severe weather in North Carolina forcing the Trump campaign to cancel a rally Saturday planned in the town of Wilmington. The former president, who was already in the state, calling into the rally to ask supporters to move out of the area as a severe storm was moving in.
I'm devastated that this could happen.
And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man aged 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man aged 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
That's the
Sunday night edition.
That's the bad guy from Inspector Gadget, Claw. Dr. Claw.
Dr. Claw. I'll get you next time, Gadget. Next time.
There's never a next time.
There's always a next time. That ran for seasons.
Well, maybe two movies or something, but like they played it every year for like decades. Right?
When you're a kid, you don't know what seasons are. It's like you watch the same cartoon and there's a rerun, whatever.
Yeah.
It is Free Talk Live. The telephone number in the studio, if you'd like to join us, 603-283-6160, also known as the Domestic Terrorist Hotline.
Yes.
Again, 603-283-6160. The FBI, for certain, is listening. We learned that.
All your calls are monitored by the FBI. Yeah. Along with
your call
broadcast.
Will be recorded for quality assurance.
Your call will be recorded and monitored by federal authorities
for quality and quality purposes.
Because they like to threaten free speech and put people in prison for victimless crimes that harmed no one. In fact, they like to put people in prison for catching more criminals than they ever do. So anyway,
they were on our radar.
No, they let those guys go. Those are the ones that get away with it.
Yeah.
If you want to get away with mass murder, step one is to get on the FBI's radar, because then they'll let you do it.
Oh, get on their payroll. Well, that
yeah.
too.
Yeah. That's guaranteed.
You know, and like join the military, become a cop, right? These right. are like, yes. become a CIA guy or an FBI guy or whatever it is, right? Like, get on the payroll. You're way more likely to get away with theft, murder, abuse,
rape.
You know, all
right.
these kinds of things. Than, you know, not being on their payroll. Now,
if you want to mag dump into your own cruiser, become a cop and wait for an acorn to
fall. Wait for the acorn to fall, yeah.
Now, if you do that, you are going to be morally compromised because you can't be a moral or principled person and be a statist simultaneously.
Ooh, tough choice.
Yeah.
Right.
So you got to live with yourself if you decide to live on the government dole, knowing that you are taking stolen money as your paycheck, which, ironically, they also steal some of that from you.
Take the taxes out of your stolen money.
You just get paid less. Now, let me throw this out there, because there's a lot of libertarians in New Hampshire in the legislature.
I didn't notice.
Right?
Sure.
Are they morally compromised, in your opinion? Or is it different because they don't have the same
In my opinion, I appreciate what these guys are trying to do.
Okay.
Right? But in my opinion, they're morally inconsistent.
Okay.
Right. I'm trying to think. Was it Larkin or Molyneux or somebody who was like, trying to change the system from the inside is akin to trying to join the mafia and turning it into a charity organization.
That was Molyneux.
Okay. So, like, that's my opinion.
But ironically, Larkin Rose wrote a fiction book where, like, that happened. So.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, it's fiction.
Yeah. It's true.
Well, if you can't beat them, join them. And then if you join them, then you can beat them.
Yeah. So, like, you know, do I enjoy that there's a movement of people who are, you know, running for offices and trying to vote down things and trying to, you know, gin up excitement for, like, NH exit and, you know, removing what's commonly referred to as the state of New Hampshire from the United States, seceding? Yes, I absolutely love all of that. Anything, like, I will take baby steps in a direction to more freedom.
Okay.
Right? A reduction is still a reduction is still mm-hmm. a reduction. It's just that so very few are actually capable and actually have the follow through to reduce it in some meaningful way.
Would you give a pass to morally compromised individuals if those compromised morals were used in the promotion of more liberty and freedom?
Well, I don't know what you mean about give a pass. Like, well, can I be friends with somebody who is a libertarian and has a state position? Yes.
Okay.
And I believe that I am. You know, there are certain people out there who, you know, hold these positions, and I consider them friends.
Okay.
So to that end, yes, but I can't change the fact that they are morally compromised by being an employee of the state.
But they don't make a lot of money.
No, they don't.
They don't take
here
a lot
they
of,
don't.
Here
no,
they
here
don't.
They
right,
don't.
Right, yeah. So, like, it's even more like, you know, I guess it would be if there's degrees, right? That would be a much lesser degree than somebody, right. you know, being a salaried politician for their entire career.
Right.
Right. These are people who have day jobs.
Career politicians.
Yeah, day jobs, 9-to-5ers, you know, that kind of a thing, mm-hmm. or they own businesses, and then they're also a state rep.
Right, right.
Right, so.
But I'm not necessarily centering it on New Hampshire, just in general.
Yeah.
And to sort of give an example for you, Steve, since you asked what do you mean by that, it is my general position that if libertarians anywhere want to win elections and gain that power that they so desperately seek, they have to act immorally.
Right.
Because
it's a compromise.
That's what politicians do.
Right.
And that's clearly the path to victory. And also, libertarians in general, even libertarians here, need a black ops division to do morally questionable things that put the other politicians in a bad light. Right. And focus energy on that.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, politician is married. You send in a hooker to, like, go love on him or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you take the salacious photos and circulate that. But they don't know where it came from. It doesn't know the libertarian is the dog.
Yeah, but that's what they do in D.C., though.
Yes. And look how successful they are.
They're all compromised down there.
And look how successful they are.
I know. Well, that's the thing. They get down there. They get them all drugged up. They get them with hookers. They, you know. We're going to videotape this. You play by the rules.
So if you want to get control of local politicians here, what's the play to gain control of local politicians here?
So we need to develop a black ops.
Get them in a morally compromising position that they don't want to get out of and blackmail them.
Wouldn't that be a yellow and black ops?
Sure, I'll take it. Yellow and black ops. Since those are the colors I typically rock.
And you do match the peace flag in here. There you go. Too, yeah. So, yeah, it's pretty sweet.
But that's what I mean when I say, like, would you give those people a pass,
like,
for acting immorally by our own standards in order to
further... I thought you meant that the libertarian representatives are compromised. Like, if you don't vote this way, we're not going to give you a little piece of the action of this bill or something like that.
No, they already are. They will admit to that, right? Okay. That's political capital. Why won't you introduce a pro-liberty bill? Well, I don't want to lose my political capital on other issues that matter more.
Right.
Right. So somebody has asked me, I'm paraphrasing here, this.
Not quoting.
Not quoting.
I'm paraphrasing because I can't remember the exact quote here. But I pointed out that government, as an institution, violates consent. Right? And that's just a fact.
Yes.
Because you can't show me where I consented to be ruled by these bastards. And so, you know, the organization itself is immoral because of that, right? And so using force to get your way is always wrong, no matter if it's somebody using force to make things go the way I want them or somebody using force to make things go the way they want them, right?
Yep.
So I might agree with a whole bunch of liberty reps getting in, taking office, and reducing taxes, reducing bills, right? Getting rid of old laws that have no reason. You know, I might agree with their actions, but it is still wrong for me to force anybody into that opinion.
Sure.
And so, but that's what the state does. The state forces you into whoever wins the majority vote, the popularity contest.
Well, and what we know thus far is they're going to be violent and coercive regardless.
Right. They, in fact, claim a monopoly.
On this. So wouldn't it be better if they were violent and coercive in our direction?
That breaks decorum in the state house. The rules.
Not in my opinion, because using force is always wrong, whether you're using force for what you perceive to be, your way, right?
Yes.
Or the right way in your mind, right?
Yesterday was 420.
Yes.
Right? Do you want to violent and coercively legalize weed, or do you want to violent and coercively continue to prohibit it?
I want all laws regarding marijuana to disappear.
Which is going to take violent and coercively initiating laws, proposing amendments to current laws, to remove them. Right? You never remove laws. You only add laws that revoke the previous law.
Well, I didn't put the laws in place, so I cannot remove them.
Well, you can't, but they can. Right? They I don't remember the number of these amendments. Prohibition.
I think the best outcome would be for just the elimination of all marijuana laws.
I got it.
Period.
But the constitutional prohibition did not remove the constitutional amendment that prohibited alcohol.
Right.
They added another one.
Right. Yeah.
That repealed the prior.
Right.
So now you have two instead of one less.
Right.
So you can do that with marijuana, coercively and violently through the state system.
Yeah.
Right. Or you can coercively and violently keep it prohibited.
I would prefer to not coerce or violate any man.
Okay.
And leave their decisions to them.
And then it remains prohibited then.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if individuals would just be like, yeah, you know what? You do you as long as you're not harming anybody. And they agree, and they go, yeah, you know what, I can do that. You do you, and as long as you're not harming anybody. And, like,
yes.
We have the right and ability to defend ourselves or subscribe to services to, take personal responsibility for our own security. So why wouldn't we do that? And then if everybody were to just do that, and, I can't force anybody, I won't force anybody to my preference, but that would be my preference, is that everybody just takes personal responsibility for themselves and their own security, and then all of a sudden government is completely useless.
So
there's no reason for it to exist, and we just ignore it out of existence.
The interesting thing that you mentioned there is the ability to defend yourself.
Yeah.
Right? And what we know is that the state actors have armed offense and law enforcement.
Yeah.
So your ability to nullify the law is either because they're ignoring you or that you're defending against them. And wouldn't it be nice if the way that you were they were null, or they were ignoring you is, again, because you have people inside the system as, like, high-level sheriffs of the county who are like, no, I'm libertarian. I'm not going to enforce that. Yeah, I'm not going to send my forces out.
But that's like the family members, like, oh, yeah, my uncle Joe is on the force, so, like, you know, watch out for him. Or, like, oh, I could probably get that ticket kicked out for you, right? Like, it carries the favoritism of force.
Yes.
And that shouldn't exist.
And you're
right. It shouldn't exist, but we know it does. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it can exist in your favor or against you.
Well, that's the world we live in.
Which is why I am friends with some of these liberty-oriented state reps. Because, you know, am I, like, are they doing things that are remotely connected to my personal philosophy? Absolutely they are. Yeah. Right? Yeah. And they're making progress, so it seems, right?
You know? If you have an uncle on the police force, right, do you want that ticket thrown out, or do you want to go to court and fight it? Just pay it?
That being said,
I'd go to court.
It would still be
even
wrong.
Even if you could get it thrown out with your uncle?
Yeah. Because then if it does, because if I have to pay it in court, and then I'd have them try to throw it out.
Oh, okay.
But it would still be wrong, right, whether or not it was in my favor to force anybody else to that preference.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Via voting, you know, for example, that kind of a thing.
So, morally, I'm with you. Yeah. But those are this is why there's no traction made, right, from that perspective. Is because you stand on the morals and you get run over by those without any, right? You're entering into a fight.
AKA the state.
Right. You're entering into a fight knowing the other guy is going to cheat.
Yeah.
And you insist on still playing fair.
Well, having a moral stance, I think, is important from the perspective of leading by example.
Sure.
Right.
Lose with dignity.
And... You know, it's where I'm at right now.
Take your pride home with you as you lick your wounds.
Am I human? Will I change my mind? I don't know. It's possible, right?
I'm not even saying you should.
I don't think I should. Okay. Like, I don't want, it's the golden rule, do unto others, right? I don't want anyone else forcing me to their preference, so I will not partake in forcing anyone else to my preference.
And I will take the WWE golden rule. Do unto the man as the man would do unto you, but do it first.
Well, sadly, we don't see much of that. Speaking of...
Someone's going to get home for the family.
I guess
be you.
The best thing we can hope for is gridlock so nothing gets done.
Well,
no,
you know, I think...
No, maybe not.
Of all of the ideas, right, like there was, what was that failed gulch that was supposed to go down in Chile?
Oh, yeah, I remember
10 years ago or something. There's been a bunch of, like, these ideas, the Free State Project. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, people have moved to, like, Acapulco.
Well, look what's happening in El Salvador. They're trying to import 50,000 people.
Yeah.
You know, to
the Ron Paul County in Texas.
Liberland is accepting, you know, applications for citizenship and this kind of thing. So there's a bunch of
idea.
There's a bunch of things going on, but you know, outside of becoming a gray man, right? That is one who's mostly invisible to the system. You know, you transact outside of state currency always.
So you're talking about
that kind of thing. No, I'm not talking about hair. I'm talking about, like, as far as
the grid. That's all of us in this room.
Yeah, you just remove yourself from the grid as much as possible.
Yes.
Right? And then live as freely as you can. Right. Outside of that, the best idea I ever heard was the Free State Project combined with secession.
Yep. Right.
Right. It's still, like, you know, unless I'm looking to move overseas and, you know, retire or something
I mean, El Salvador sounds good, but...
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think the best chance for people who are Eleutheromaniacs, who enjoy being free and have an insatiable desire for freedom, I think the combination of something like the Free State Project or the Greater Liberty Movement here in New Hampshire,
right,
combined with the NH exit stuff, is the best idea going.
Right. And the 400 state reps. I mean, I think, what is it, 3,200 people each state rep? Was it 32,000? No, 3,200, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
3,200 people per state rep.
In that respect, I have already voted with my feet, at least within the United States of America, by moving here.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I've said, oh, look, New Hampshire is consistently number one in freedoms of all kinds, and a couple of different places put out these annual reports on this, and New Hampshire is consistently number one, if not number two. If they're not number one, they're always number two. Mm-hmm. They're always one of the top two, at least in the last decade or so. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, if you survey the landscape and you go, there's nowhere on planet Earth where a government hasn't claimed the land. There's only 200 countries on planet Earth, but somehow they've claimed all of the land. There's nowhere you can go and just actually live as a free man without a coercive agency of violence governing you.
Seasteading.
Okay, but there's no place on, well, there's no piece of Earth that
no
you can go.
Piece of Earth.
There's no slice of land where you can go. Unless, I mean, maybe you could buy a private island or something like that, but I'm not wealthy. So
I'm pretty sure the state of Hawaii still has jurisdiction over Steve Ellison's island.
Yeah. So, you know, if you survey the land, the earth, I still think New Hampshire is the best thing going.
Right. And to your point, like, it has a better legislature than any other state.
Right.
And part of the problem is, even with that secession movement, there are those within that legislature that think the state is the ideal size of government. Right, because you go like, well, once we get rid of the federal government, then we can work on getting the state government gone. And they go, well, you don't want to do that. You don't want counties, because then counties will have different laws. And how's it going to be when you cross from county to county? So you don't want that. You don't want all the counties having, you know, same way it's like driving to Vermont.
People are so ridiculous. They're like, are there wars right now between counties? No, there aren't. What makes you think that, like, in the event of, like, states seceding or whatever, that anything is really going to change regarding that?
Look, this was from a local political candidate.
Yeah.
Like, when I first moved here several years ago, like, those were their words. State's the ideal size because counties are too small. You don't want to have different laws county to
the
county.
The ideal size
state
for what? Controlling and mandating people? And,
yes, the ideal size of government, because county governments are hard to travel through when each county gets to set their own rules.
Oh, that's like, you've seen the movie.
Prominent member. You've seen the free state movement.
You've seen Escape from New York?
Oh, of course.
That's like saying, actually, we need smaller walled-in island prisons. The ideal walled-in island prison would be, you know, some smaller island, less than Long Island, right? You know, something smaller than that. That's what people are saying. They're like, oh, we want our tax cattle farms to be of a smaller size because it's easier to govern you and boss you around and tell you what to do.
Like, what would happen if you had to go from Keene to Marlboro or whatever, or Walpole, and there were different laws in between? Like, how would you even handle that?
I mean, that already exists. In each of these places, there are already different ordinances and city, like, stuff and, different fees for parking even, all that kind of stuff.
I mean, you
could
do,
like,
55 coming into Keene, but as soon as you hit Keene, it's like 25. Like, what?
Yeah. The worst part about coming into Keene, the way I come in, there's a sign that says City of Keene, speed limit is 30.
Yeah.
Unless otherwise, posted.
Yeah.
And, like, 10 feet later, it says posted speed 25.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man.
Come on.
What is this?
You know the road pirates are always hanging out near that sign.
Oh, you know they are.
Nice straightaway.
One little curve.
Yeah. So, again, I applaud everyone who is trying to forward more freedom for people. Right? Do I agree with everybody's methods? Nope. Do they agree with mine?
But your way of doing it is doing it on the radio.
I mean, this is my activism.
Right.
Yes, absolutely.
Some people write articles, people...
Also, I've thrown my art into it. Like, even before I was on this show, man, there are libertarian, anarchist themes running through all of my music if you go back and listen to my back catalog.
Right.
Where can we find that back catalog, Ken?
CaptainKickass.com.
Thanks
for reminding me to promote myself. I am horrible at promoting myself. I don't even mention my website most nights that I'm on the air anymore. And, like, I did, like, when I was, the EP's coming out, and I got to tell everybody to remind, But, like, I'm a horrible self-promoter.
Well, you got the ad during the breaks.
I did get Zeus. That's the coup de grace.
That was a big get.
That's the coup de grace. Like,
that's more kick-ass than kick-ass.
I should see if they'll play the commercial at Porkfest.
Yeah.
I've been contacted about using my music. I'm like, yeah, sure, that's fine, whatever. You know, here's links to the files or whatever. Go ahead and use my music during Porkfest. But, like,
I'd have been spiteful and said no. I just the way they treated you when you tried to promote it.
Oh. You know, it would be almost to me more of a spite to have the actual song played at the festival,
right.
You know, at a sanctioned event, right. You know, one of the big speeches, that kind of thing.
Charge them a licensing fee at least. If they're gonna have politicians there and put up no gun zones, they need a licensing fee. Yeah.
Like in reality, at least the song "It's Time" was made. At Porkfest, for Porkfest, by Porkfest.
No, I get it.
You know, that kind of thing. So, like...
And then they went, this is not the place to promote that, Kevin.
Well, one person.
Okay.
You know, and...
Well, don't burn any bridges.
But, so, like, to me, it would be more of a win to actually have it shared in front of its intended audience.
All right.
Like, I'm down with that. So, and it's kind of a captive audience at that point, too. So, like, you know, if there's a big thing under the... What do they call it?
The pavilion,
yeah, you know, and in fact, I think maybe like Ari's going to give a talk, and I think they're going to use the music like either before like her entrance or exit music. I'm not sure.
Get one of those sonic cannons and just point it at the person that wouldn't let you play it, like all Porkfest, so that's all they hear.
Oh, like an LRAD? Get a police LRAD.
Why am I always hearing Captain Kickass LP wherever I go? Does anybody else hear it?
I've had this idea, like, what if people
Havana
had
syndrome?
What if people just had theme music that followed them around instead of, like, names?
Right.
Wow. And, like, oh, I can hear Richie Rich coming. You know? Oh, that must be the captain coming down, right? Yeah.
I think my general theme song is Bad Reputation by Joan Jett.
Okay. Yeah, I'll take that. That's a good get.
Yeah.
I like that. Steve?
I can't think of it off the top of my head.
You don't have a theme song? Yeah, like a song that just says, I am Steve. I am Steve Klass. This is my song.
I don't know. Probably be something from Tom Petty, but I can't think of.
Freebasing? Are you following?
No. Freebasing. I'll think of it. I'll get to the top of the hour.
Freebasing. That's my parody of free falling, but I've never finished. So, as much as I complain to other people about, like, don't just give me part of the song, man.
Yeah.
Like, I have so many of those that are like, oh, that might be a good idea. You know.
I'm telling you, lean on the AI. It's a beautiful thing now.
Well, man, that, like...
What, for writing articles?
Right, so look...
Or just come up with ideas?
As an artist, I realized tech hits art first. But, like, AI is supposed to make our work lives better so that we can focus more on doing art.
Yes.
But no, it's doing the art for us. So what, we can focus more on work?
Yes.
Screw
welfare.
That.
Welfare.
Come on. More Free Talk Live is coming up, 603-283-6160. Coming up, we're going to talk about Weekend at Bernie's 3.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never not once been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have longevity.